Good morning, everyone. And again, to you visitors, I am not the regular pastor, so if you're disappointed with the preaching at Calvary Baptist Church, come back next week. It'll be a lot better. So, the pastor is on vacation. We trust they're having a restful time. So, let's open a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this privilege to gather as your people. Lord, I pray that as we meditate on your word and your ways this morning and some of the things you've shown me, Lord, that you would enlighten our hearts and strengthen us for your service. And Lord, they would be more devoted to you and become your disciples. Lord, that your glory would show forth in this message, that it would be honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last winter, a lot of you know, we escaped, Dee and I escaped to Florida for about 10 days. And she's starting to think Minnesota winters are too long, and I think most of us after last winter think Minnesota winters are too long. And so we were down there about 10 days, and when we were there, we went to an amusement park. Now, it seems like generally we end up in Orlando part of the time, and there's a couple reasons to go to an amusement park in Florida. One is they're just really good. The other thing is I think there's two ways you can get your heart checked. One is to go to the doctor the regular way. The other way is you go on some rides. If you walk out at the end of the day, I think your heart's just fine. So we went to SeaWorld this year. It was pretty close to where we were, and we just hadn't been there. And of course, we come in, and of course, then shortly after we get there, we find out the big roller coaster in the park is not operating that day. Of course, they didn't tell you that when you came in. They didn't give you a discount on your ticket. But so we found the next biggest roller coaster, which was a big roller coaster. And I was kind of wondering why I go on these. So we go up there, we get in line. And, you know, they got all these places, and you got to herd through all them bars and stuff. And we got up there, and there really was no line. We got right on the roller coaster. But if you wanted to get in the front row, there was a line. So how many of you are front row people? You go to the roller coaster, you want to be in the front. All right. Some honest people. Now, I'm not sure what the whole thing is. I always like to make sure the person in front of me makes it through. Because you can be the first one to hold up your hands. The first one to scream. When you go under, you know, then they always take your picture and try to sell it to you. Imagine you get a nice, unobstructed picture because you don't have the people in front of you. But we did not go in that front row. But part of the time in Florida, we did go to a different front row. How many of you ever heard of One Hope? It's been on Praise FM a little bit. Okay, just and part of it is just to find out how many of you are familiar. So I'll give a little background on this. One Hope is a worldwide Bible distribution mission to children, and they're based in Florida. I'm on the board of Praise FM. We've hooked up with them the last couple of years, and I actually missed their first year they had the radio program. So I went down there not knowing a lot, other than our executive director Dave McIver was going to be down there and says, you know, if you're going to be in Florida during this time, try to take this in. It's kind of like, y'all are going to suffering for Jesus going to Florida. Well, we were going to be down there anyway, so we were able to take this in. And I'm going to give you a little overview, but I'm going to mostly tell what's going on, not necessarily through One Hope, but really some things happening throughout the world. Because basically, I want to start with one scripture here, Matthew 28, the Great Commission. It's familiar, you've heard it. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." That's a command to the disciples, but it's a command really to the whole Christian church. And sometimes, you know, we each do a part. We do something here or there, but you kind of wonder, when's this thing going to be fulfilled? And we're going to talk a little about that today. One Hope started about 25 years ago. A man by the name of Bob Hoskins, at age 51, He had been a missionary in Lebanon, They actually got kicked out of Lebanon when a lot of the fighting was going on. They had to evacuate several times. He was back in the United States running a Christian foreign language publishing company in Florida, and the Lord started speaking to him. And over a course of about 6 weeks, God had just given him a burden for children. And basically, the very clear vision that God gave him out of this was, says, I want my word taken to the children and youth of the world. So this vision was born to bring God's word to the children of the world and to work with the churches doing this. And basically, that's the motto, One Hope. One Hope, you see One Hope, and then their little byline is God's word, every child. And what's important about God's word? Let's take a look. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Another familiar passage. It says, the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So this work is centered around distributing the word of God. And I want to give you a sense, you know, when I get done there, I'm going to throw some facts and figures and a lot of big numbers around, but it's not about the big numbers. You know, part of that is just to get a picture of what's going on worldwide, but it's about each individual that is touched by the word of God. And just a quote here, this is a book, Hope Delivered, kind of, it's talking about some of the things that have happened with One Hope over the years. And this is written by Bob Hoskins, the founder. And he talks here, he says, I had grown up hearing the stories how even a scrap of a Bible page could bring someone to salvation. A Muslim boy named Nasi picked up some cheese from a street vendor one day to find it wrapped in a page of the Bible. There was a paper shortage in Tehran, Iran, at the time, and the merchant was using whatever he could find to wrap his customers' purchases. His father warned him against reading it, but Nasi read the page several times, and the next day returned to the vendor to ask about the mysterious page. The merchant told him if he made another purchase, there was more such wrapping paper available. So he brought some figs, and the next day some dates, and then more cheese. Finally, he had several pages of the Bible, each of which he had read again and again. But it was frustrating, because he was only receiving disjointed scraps of scripture. From just these few pages, he could tell there was a compelling message, and he longed to know what it was. Motivated by what he had read in the throwaway scraps of the word, he went searching for a Farsi language Bible. He began to read it, and in just a few weeks, he had chosen to become a follower of Christ. Sounds like a Gideon story, doesn't it, Harlow? Yeah. So God's word, empowered by God's spirit, changes lives. First point, I didn't get this real organized ahead of time, so Angie, that's good. The first point I want to make is God is faithful. When he calls, he equips to fulfill the call. So when Bob Hoskins, I got to get confused here because Bob is the dad, Rob is the son. So I'll try to keep you clued in or I'll get mixed up myself. He knew that God had called him to do this and One Hope was founded, but they really didn't know what to do. They knew they had been doing a lot of foreign language publishing, a lot of it in Spanish, so they were familiar with that. So their first idea was to take 50, like Thompson chain reference Bibles, engrave them with names, and send them to 50 leaders throughout Latin America. And these were business leaders, church leaders, government leaders, and just tell them what their desire was to come and give the word of God to their children. And they waited. And the first request came back from the Minister of Education in El Salvador. He wanted them to come and give this book to their children. And of course, they tell the story that Bob he's all excited and he's dancing around the office, and his secretary comes out and says, Bob, how many children are there in El Salvador? Which they did a little figuring and calls and whatnot. And they found out there's 900, they wanted 965,000 scriptures. And this is where it gets kind of interesting. And part of what One Hope does is, part of their calling is, they're thinking, okay, so we sent Thompson Chain Reference Bibles to all these leaders. Now we've got, you know, basically targeting kids. When they talk to children in the world, they're basically targeting kids ages 4 to 14. Well, if you get a kid who can barely read and has never seen a Bible, and you drop 2,000 pages on them, you know, they say by the time they get to Leviticus, they kind of lose some interest. So what they have done, and they continue to do, is generally what they do when they go into a country is they try to go in and research the culture of the country first, if they can. And a lot of times they use local people to do this, because there's, you know, we always think, well, America, we're kind of the same, but there's certain cultures where suicide is an issue. They've gone into countries where maybe as many as 50% of the kids have contemplated suicide in the last 6 months. There's other countries they go in that know the Bible stories, but they have no clue that they relate to everyday life. There's other countries that go in and they say, well, yeah, we'll have Jesus. I mean, we got this guy. Yeah, we'll take one more. If one is good, three's got to be better, right? So what they typically do is go in with one of the Gospels and then some other scriptures related to some of the issues in the culture. And at first, it took me a while. As I spent some time processing this whole thing after this conference. I'm like, you know, I always think when you give somebody a Bible, you need to give them the whole Bible. But then the more I processed it, it's not a lot unlike the Apostle Paul when he wrote his letters. He knew the situation. He knew the issues. And he addressed those issues. Because One Hope is trying to be very intentional, not just to go into a country, give every kid a scripture, and then check that country off the box. But they want to see the disciples made and the changes in people's heart from that word. So they've been very, very intentional about that. And then it wasn't that much. Sometime down the road a little bit, Bob was in Brazil, actually at a meeting, kind of like with the president and his whole cabinet, you know, the ministers of education, children, all this kind of stuff. And what they were trying to do is they had identified a very poor slum area in Sao Paulo with about 1 million children that they wanted to go in and distribute the Book of Hope to. And so they're going in and telling the people what they're going to do and trying to get a pitch and hoping to get favor. And it was going pretty good. But then one of the ministers turned to him and says, well, if this book is so good, how come you only wanted to give it to those kids? What about our other 37 million kids? And Bob kind of he stuttered and didn't know what to do, and he went home, and he fell on his face, and he wept. Because he had kind of punted on the deal. God had called him, give these scriptures. And when this minister said, minister of education, whatever, says, yeah, can you bring 38 million? He, you know, in his own flesh thought, I don't have resources for that. What can I do? But Bob fell on his face and he says, who was I to think, you know, so I was thinking of God more like a banker. He says, where there's some kind of credit limit where, you know, when you get to this point, you've reached your max. And he said he's not that way, and he really repented of that, and really since that time, they've really concerned themselves as a ministry that if they keep their hearts pure and their motives right, that God will provide, and he has. An actual follow-up that over the years, they have distributed, I think 100 million copies in Brazil alone, so. But, you know, when we look at this faith thing, you know, God calls us to do something, and sometimes we punt. I've been treasurer here for quite a few times, and, you know, you kind of get used to the thing. But we always come to the budget meeting, and it's like, well, there's always that question. It's like, well, you know, we barely made the budget last year. How come we're budgeting more this year? You know, because we're our faith mission. God will provide. We don't provide. God provides. And one year, I had this great idea. I'd read in a church magazine, some other church's magazine, that what they did, you know, especially like in summer when attendance is low, is what they do at their church is people just, they do automatic withdrawal slips. So the money always comes in. And I had this brilliant idea that what we should do is rather than just take a vote on the budget at the annual meeting, we should hand out automatic withdrawal slips. And when we get enough to cover the budget, we're done. Yeah. Hey, how's that for faith? So, you know, it's easy for us, I think, sometimes to fall into that, and I have too. But sometimes God calls us to do different things. I think, you know, a couple weeks ago, Terry shared here, you know, when Pastor Eric had done the thing about, you know, the rocking chair moments and taking time each day to spend with God to start out the day. You know, Terry talked about how he did that, and it's changed his life. You know, God called him to do that, and he went ahead and did that. You know, you got to think some point in there, you got to wake up someday and say, man, I just don't have time today. But, who made time? God did. Or I think of Susan here. She talks about, you know, the blessing it was to spend, you know, to sign up for a spot in the prayer marathon. That's something she'd never done before. An hour alone with God? Whoa. You know, that's kind of, can be overwhelming, but you did it. God called you to do it, and it was a blessing, right? So I think, that, you know, the question we need to ask ourselves, you know, is what is God calling you to do in faith? You know, ask him, and sometimes I think when he calls you and you know he's calling you to do something, I'm not good at writing things down. You know, you should write it down because you know, it goes way back to the fall in the garden. What did the serpent say to Eve? Did God really say? Because I'm sure if God calls you to something, at some point, Satan's going to come along and he's going to just kind of work on you a little bit. We need to be guarded against that, and remember what God calls you to do. He is faithful and he will provide. Amen. Second point I was going to make is God is at work. He rules the heavens and the earth. And this was really kind of crazy listening to Bob tell. I mean, these are, sometimes, you know, we read the Bible and we read these stories and say, man, things really happened back then. But you know what? Things are still happening. Russia, you know, those of us old enough remember, how many of you went to bomb shelters in elementary school? Yeah, Russians are coming. Seriously. And now, you know, the Iron Curtain has fallen. Now, when they started on this mission, when God first called them to go to the children of the world, you know, communist countries, Muslim countries, that wasn't even on their radar. I mean, they just thought, you know, we'll start with some countries we can deal with, and they'd figure out, you know, with these 3 or 5 or 10 languages, we can cover this percentage of the world. But as time went on, some doors opened, and Bob ended up some meetings where some people really felt that some things were happening in Russia, and they needed to go over. And they went over to Russia. And there again, too, they met with some leaders at the Kremlin, and it was interesting because, you know, all we hear about, you know, all these terrible Russians and everything, but some of the leaders realized that they had been telling people God is dead for years, squelching the church, which basically meant that now the people had freedom and the government can control them. They were free to pursue all kinds of different interests, and that they were going to have a real moral dilemma on their hands. And before they left that meeting, they had papers that allowed them to go into any school in the whole country of Russia and hand out the Bible. Of course, it's about the same time in the United States that they're saying Gideons can't go into the church, will go into the schools and give the Bible out. So it's interesting to see just how they've done it. And there too, as they go into these countries, there wasn't a lot of church infrastructure in Russia at the time when they first started, but shortly after they got started, there has been Hosanna teams that they've organized, which are actually groups of Russian Christians themselves who take a year and they go around and distribute the scriptures to schools, churches, wherever they can get in. And basically all the work they've done, One Hope, you know, and I talk about One Hope, and I'm just telling you, I just got a view of what God's doing worldwide. Because this is not just about One Hope. And you don't hear a lot about One Hope itself. They really are designed to be a catalyst to help the churches in a country, to provide resources, to provide materials. The work, wherever possible, is done by the church in the country. Think about Syria. Syria has been in the news lately. Looks like chaos. Syria is one of the, there's only about a handful of countries that are totally closed to somebody coming in with the gospel as such. And Syria is one of those. But right now, there's probably about 2 to 3 million Syrians in refugee camps living outside of Syria. And one of the countries they're in is Lebanon, which is where Bob Hoskins, when he was a missionary, served. And so they're going into those refugee camps. The first thing, that, you know, they wanted to make sure that people were taken care of. They had food and shelter and water and health care. But as time has progressed now, they've gone in to evaluate, you know, what's going on with those people and those kids and develop materials so they can bring them a book of hope. Because it's interesting, they cannot go into Syria, but the Syrians are now outside of the country. And it's interesting because some of the Syrian Christians actually, they kind of like the refugee camp. They can actually meet and have a worship service openly. You can't do that in Syria. So God is doing some amazing things. Back to El Salvador, the first country they went to. There had been civil strife and fighting in El Salvador for years. The UN had gone in with peacekeeping troops. The United States had tried to go in. And it just really wasn't settling down, which, you know, kind of makes you wonder why they went to El Salvador at that point, because things were kind of in chaos. But the thing you probably didn't read in the news is that 6 months after they distributed the Book of Hope, the fighting stopped. That's where you change a heart, you change a household, you change a community, you change a country. So there's things going on. I mean, I think we tend to see worldly... Well, okay. Deuteronomy. I thought I had that marked here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Wow, you got it way before I did. I should read it off the screen. I will. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to you and your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. As I read this, it's easy just to skip over that. And, you know, we've been studying, you know, the Exodus. Because some of you, you know, have built from scratch on a place. You know, you have to build, Henry just did that, like, you have to build the house, you have to build the water system, you have to bring the sewer system. You build out in the middle of a field, you got to build a grove. It takes years. And I find it interesting how many times in the Bible, God did not, you know, he brought the Israelites into the promised land, and hey, it was set up ready to go. By God's people? No, by some other people. He just used them to prepare the way for them. And just kind of that whole sense of how God sometimes we look at world events, and I think we tend to look at them through a political spectrum, because we don't always see everything that's going on in the spiritual realm. They talked about one country in the Near East. I think it was one of the old Eastern Bloc countries. Like I said, I'm sorry I don't have the name of the country, but it was a country they could travel through, but they could not stop and do an actual scripture, Book of Hope distribution. It just wasn't open. But they had prepared some books in that language, and the plan was to take the trucks through, and when they stopped different places, they were just going to drop the books off, and hopefully people would get them. Well, in the process, somehow, the government found out that they were going to come with these books, so the government took pictures of the books, made big posters, said, hey, if you see this book, throw it away. It is illegal for you to have or read this book. And they put the posters all over. So, when they came with the trucks and they dropped off the books, they didn't have to advertise. They didn't have to tell people what it was. The government had done that for them. You know, so sometimes, you know, it's amazing when you sit back and realize just how all these world events play out, that God is at work. Sometimes we wonder how. You know, I think sometimes, you know, you watch this 6 o'clock news, you get, you know, and you come up with despair. I know I looked in the national news in the paper yesterday, and it was like the latest survey is the end of 2013. There's 51 million refugees worldwide. Gloom and despair? Well, I don't know. As I say, there's some Syrians in Lebanon that are going to hear the gospel before that's all over. Sometimes you look at it and you wonder, well, how is all this going to play out? And I don't know. I read the end of the book. I'll tell you it's going to play out. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Point number three, pray for your leaders. We'll look right here at Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. This is Joshua going to war with the Amalekites. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekite... The Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. You know, just the whole picture, you know, the whole picture I get is Moses, when he's in a position of prayer and asking God for his help, they're winning. When the hands go down, the tide turns. And this is with Joshua fighting. I mean, Joshua was no slouch of a warrior. I mean, he was top notch. But it is God who, his prayer accomplishes much. You know, and as you say, the view from the front was, as we're sitting there, we were at the conference about 2 days. And it was kind of overwhelming because just one thing after another, after another, after another. And you know, listen to Bob talk, it's kind of like, you kind of wonder what it would be like to talk to Moses or something. It's kind of, you know, as Rob starts telling about his life, and they did talk a little bit more about Rob this room or down there, because actually, he's only 77 years old. He's been in ministry 70 years. He was called to preach at 7 years old. Not to kids, but to adults. So after he's been talking about these countries and these places they've been, all these things that have happened, you know, it's kind of like, you kind of almost feel like, well, this is like talking to one of the great men of God and that God has used. And you start thinking about this. Well, you know, sometimes we get this sense that if somebody really seems spiritual, we think we don't need to pray for them anymore because they've arrived. But that's not true, because actually, if you go back to the connection, and this is something for you with follow Praise FM. Praise FM first got involved with One Hope about a little over 2 years ago. David McIver, the executive director, had been at Substance Church, which some of you are familiar with. And One Hope had been there. I think Rob and Bob Hoskins had been up talking about One Hope that week. And Dave just felt that we needed to go down and maybe partner with these people. So Dave McIver and Mark Herringshaw went down to One Hope, and they thought, you know, their board was meeting, and they thought they'd maybe get like a half-hour opening maybe to talk about maybe some things we could do together or whatever, and half an hour turned into about half a day. They had gotten to a point as One Hope. They were well-financed. They had a good-sized organization, but they had just worn down spiritually. In words of Rob, the son who talked to me, said, you know, when I met him down at the conferences, the first thing he said when I told him I was with Praise FM, he says, you guys came along just in time. We had outrun our prayer covering, or outgrown our prayer covering. There was a certain weariness. In fact, they didn't know if they could go on. So thank you to all those of you who have joined in prayer. You know, sometimes you hear If you listen to Praise FM a lot, sometimes one of the announcers or worship leaders will take some time to pray for a particular country at One Hope. And that's not an advertisement for One Hope. That's not a reminder to pay your pledge to One Hope. That is a call to pray. Because there's a spiritual battle going on, and it's dangerous. You know, you would not send, any of you have been in the military, you do not send somebody to the front lines without cover and support. And it's the same thing in our spiritual battle, is you cannot not have that cover and support, or it's just not going to work. And that's a continued reminder to us. And I guess the thing I would really like when I say pray for your leaders is, you know, when you think about your pastor, hopefully you think favorably of him, but you need to be, whether it be your pastor, the deacons, the board, the teachers, anybody who's around you who's ministering, is you need to be praying for them. Because if they're out doing spiritual battle, there will be attacks from the enemy. And we just need to continually do that, because if we forget, you know, it would be like Joshua fighting. When the hands came down, the battle swung the other way. And that's easy, because it's a spiritual battle. Sometimes we don't see it as visibly or see the immediate results like you do in a physical military battle, but it's just as real. It's just as real. So you need to do that. So a couple things, you know, just to wrap up. One is, we were kind of overwhelmed. And this spring, Rob Hoskins was up on the radio, and he actually, I was at a banquet with him in Alec one day, and got to talk to him over dinner a little bit. And I said, hey, you know, we came down to that thing, and we felt like we were run over by a truck, because it was just one report after another truck, And he just said, we were overwhelmed too. Because what happens is they're doing all these ministry things throughout the year. They're active in about 125 different countries. And then once a year, they bring some of the people in from some of the different areas and some of the supporters to sit down and get a report of what's going on. And that's basically what I'm doing to you, is giving a report partly of some of the things that's going on worldwide with fulfilling the Great Commission. Because a lot of times, you know, you're called maybe to teach Sunday school or, you know, have a devotion with your kid in Madison, Minnesota on a regular basis. But we don't get to see the bigger picture. Actually, they're targeting kids age 4 to 14. When we were at the conference, they actually had a live video feed of a guy from Russia who had received a One Hope book in Russia some years ago in China, giving a book of hope to a girl in a school, and that was the 1 billionth copy of the book of hope that they've given out. Now, as time goes on, they're looking at some other media platforms. You know, there's some countries where kids don't read, so you need to... They're developing some films. They're just with the media age, they're working with more tools. But the primary thing is still the Book of Hope. And God called them, you know, to take the Word of God to the children of the world. And they are taking it to the children of the world. But a couple, 3 years ago, they sat down and they said, what does mission fulfillment look like? As in taking the Word of God to every child in the world. You know, and just looking through demographics and all this thing, they actually came up with, they have this thing, Vision 2030, and they would like to, by the year 2030, have given the Book of Hope or some form of Scripture truth to every child in the world. And that will take about 4 billion copies. And that is what they're shooting for. And then after that, every 7 years, to reach 1 billion new children coming through that age. So it's kind of amazing, you think of in your lifetime, you know, you think of the implications spiritually worldwide if basically we could see a time when all the children of the world are exposed to the Word of God. They won't all accept. There's a high percentage. I think it's some over 50% probably give their life to Christ, because they give the book out, and then typically they'll probably have some gatherings that surround that. You know, if they're at a school, they'll have some gatherings maybe in the evenings in the town and reach those people. So I don't tell you this to overwhelm you with, you know, we're not doing much because there's billions going out there. I'm saying that come back to give you a report from the front row that, wow, there's some things happening out here that I had no idea. And that should be an encouragement to you, you know. And I'm not sure, you know, what your part is. Maybe your part is the one neighbor, the one family member. Maybe you're teaching VBS, Gideon's. But whatever God has called you to do is you're part of the Great Commission. My encouragement would be to you, there's a lot going on out there. And you're not alone. And it's happening. God is alive. He's moving. The Great Commission is a large undertaking, but we have a big God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, thank you, thank you for the gift of salvation that you have given to us. Lord, help us not to just keep it for ourselves, but to share it with others around us. As you lead, Lord, help us to be open to your call. Lord, that we would be listening for your voice. And that as you call, we would be faithful. You would give us the faith to believe and to act on what you have called us to do. Lord, lift up to you those in leadership. Lift up to you Pastor Eric and Anna and Maya, Lord. I pray for their vacation, Lord, that they would be refreshed and renewed. That you would give them safety in their activities and their travels. And Lord, I especially pray for Pastor Eric as our pastor, Lord, that you would protect he and his family and their household spiritually, Lord, from attacks, Lord, that they would be faithful, and Lord, that you would just bless them and bless their ministry here, Lord. Lord, I lift up to you the people at One Hope, especially Bob and Rob Hoskins as they lead, Lord, that you would continue to give them strength, provision, and that their service would be faithful, and that as they work with churches throughout the world, Lord, the fruit of the gospel would be manifest in people's hearts and lives, and that the glory would be given to you. Lord, just thank you again for this time together and pray that you bless our fellowship. Lord, that you would strengthen us and prepare us for the week to be your servants, to be your hands and feet in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.